The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day, so why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey, welcome to the show today. We've got a fantastic show for you. Life-saving information, I trust. Or you have to trust me on this fact. This information is for absolutely everybody, because every single person out there has been touched in one way or another with heart disease. So first of all, why are so many people sailing at half mast these days? And how many of these people have been living this way for so long? Well, they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore. You know, too many individuals suffer from a condition of acceptance. They are guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host. And this is, as you know, the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Mark Twain had a phenomenal saying that I use in the majority of my lectures when I talk about things like stress. And it really pretty much sums up the focus of today's show. It goes like this. I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. See, the truth is perception equals reality when it comes to our stress response. So whether you're being chased by a predator that is trying its darndest to make you its lunch, or you were just cut off by a crazy driver on your way to work, the end result is really the same. A stress response created, and in the process, bits and pieces of your body are literally broken down to facilitate that stress response, period. See, contending with chronic stress at work or at home is an all too familiar scenario for many of us these days. And combine this fact with a diet of stress-producing food and then a lack of exercise, and, you know, we can unfortunately find ourselves on a sure path to premature aging. Of course, stress is an unavoidable feature of our daily life, and of course, not all stress is necessarily bad. However, the physiological effects of unremitting negative stress can be devastating to the goal of living a long, healthy, and also a lean life. So here are the cold, hard facts for today's show. Continuous negative stress has been linked to North America's five leading causes of death, starting with heart disease, cancer, lung disease, accidents, and cirrhosis of the liver. And author and stress researcher Dr. Kenneth Peltier has concluded that in America, between 80 and 90% of all illness is linked to stress, and that 75 to 90% of all of our visits to the doctor are for stress and anxiety-related concerns. Many other researchers in this field have emphasized that the persuasive problems stress can create will actually kill us. For instance, chronic stress has been shown to have a powerful impact on our emotional, our physical, and our material well-being by negatively affecting our health, our job, finances, and even our relationships. Stress costs North American industry more than $300 billion each year in absenteeism, reduced productivity, stress-related accidents, and workers' compensation benefits. Don't you think it's time we got a handle on the devastating stranglehold that stress has on us? Well, today on Transforming Health, stress and your heart. What you can't afford not to know. See, today's guest is on the board of directors for the American Heart Association. He speaks regularly on their behalf. He's also a board-certified cardiologist and has been published. His articles have been published in peer-reviewed journals such as the American Heart Journal, the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, and also Circulation. So please welcome the co-author of the 15-Minute Heart Cure, The Natural Way to Release Stress and Heal Your Heart in Just Minutes a Day. Dr. John Kennedy, welcome to Transforming Health.
Thanks a lot, Brad. It's great to be here.
Great. Listen, we've got so much important information to share with the majority of the listeners today, and I just want to really start off by saying part of the reason I got into research myself is because I lost my father 20 years ago to prostate cancer, but he also suffered from cardiovascular complications. And, you know, he was one of the people that had the quadruple bypass surgery. And, you know, I think a lot of people listening to the show today can probably relate to this because, you know, you've got somebody that's been touched by heart disease. I mean, we're talking about close to, what, a million people every year that are, you know, basically suffer from cardiovascular complications.
That's right.
And with my father, what happened was he seemed like a relatively healthy individual, and then all of a sudden, you know, the last couple of years of his life, bang, everything kind of hit him, and then, you know, he was diagnosed with the heart disease and then had the quadruple bypass, and I think a lot of us kind of see, you know, where this is going, where all of a sudden, you know, we don't notice a problem until the problem already happens, and we find ourselves, or we find someone we love in a hospital being diagnosed with a heart attack, and, you know, they have to take drastic measures. So I want to start off by asking, you know, stress is this, you know, unavoidable part of our lives, obviously, but one of your areas of interest and expertise is in how stress impacts our cardiovascular health. And I want you to just start off and explain, you know, what have you found in your research between stress and really what it does to our heart?
Right. Well, it's a great question. First of all, I'm sorry about your father. And before I get into the how stress and heart disease are linked, I want to say that your father really illustrates a great example of how heart disease presents. It's a very elusive disease, actually. It starts very early. We know that 90% of kids that are 12 years old in your country and my country have the beginnings of atherosclerosis. We can measure it in their inside their hearts and their blood vessels, the aorta.
Right.
And this has a very long asymptomatic lag time. And most men, 65% of men, in fact, their first time presenting ever with heart disease is with a heart attack, like your father, or sudden cardiac death. And for women, unfortunately, they have a similar fate. It starts very early, and for 50% of women, the first time they present with heart disease is with a heart attack or sudden cardiac death. So it's a disease that kind of strikes without warning often, and we don't even know that we're living with the disease. And there is a huge body of literature, a literal tsunami of information that's coming out now and over the past, actually, 20, 30 years, showing how emotional stress and cardiovascular disease are directly linked. And as a cardiologist, I've witnessed, you know, how emotional stress greatly impacts the delicate cardiovascular tissue. And I've seen, you know, thousands of examples of how stressful life experiences directly impact our cardiovascular health. And just to give you a couple examples recently, just over the last couple of weeks, I've seen, you know, attorneys on the day of their court trial who have massive heart attacks. I've seen teachers on back to school night develop rapid, you know, palpitations and arrhythmias, and I've seen, you know, plumbers, for example, dealing with angry clients who develop congestive heart failure. So there's clearly a link. It's becoming more and more prevalent. And you ask the question, you know, well, how does it happen? How does this work? And what I'm studying and what others have studied is that when we get stressed, when we trigger this fight-or-flight response, we cause a release of stress hormones, namely adrenaline and cortisol, and these cause a direct negative effect on our cardiovascular tissue. It causes our heart rate to go up, our blood pressure to go up. It causes inflammation to go up inside our blood vessels. It causes our blood to become thick and sticky. And stress also changes our blood sugar handling and our lipid metabolism, which all create the perfect storm for a cardiovascular event. And you mentioned very at the very beginning of your show that in addition to these direct toxic effects that stress has on our body, when we ignore the signs of stress, we tend to exercise less. We tend to eat poorly. We grab for comfort foods, quick foods.
Right.
And we tend to mask the signs of stress with drugs and alcohol and smoking, which further compound the problem.
Now you spoke about emotional stress, and I mean, you know, let's face it. As I mentioned, perception equals reality. So we all have within us, and it sounds, you know, easier said than done, but we do have within us to control our situation. We can control, to a large extent, our environment, what we allow into our lives, what we allow to affect us. So isn't it really us that's creating the majority of the problem because we're not dealing emotionally well with whatever's going on around us?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I talk about in the 15-minute heart cure this whole idea of we are what we think. And, you know, when we're stuck in traffic and we're, you know, late for work or we're angry because we're not getting somewhere on time, we stimulate this fight-or-flight response, and we create this perfect storm, literally, for having a cardiovascular event. You know, we can't control it. And so what I teach is that instead of letting this whole stress response wreak havoc on our health, instead of fight, flight, freeze, you can train your brain, just like you're talking about, Brad, you can train your brain to listen, focus, breathe. That's what I teach. So you have a choice to respond to stress in a productive way or a maladaptive way,
right.
A healthy way or an unhealthy way, however you want to put it. But we clearly have the ability to respond to stress in a very effective way, which turns out to be very healthy.
So really, it's overreaction in a sense, isn't it? I mean, we've all kind of been there, you know. I mean, I use examples sometimes when I'm talking about stress, doing a public talk. I talk about, you know, we've all been there where we've made this big dinner. We're absolutely starved. We get home and we're cooking half the dinner, and then all of a sudden we spill something, an integral part of what that dinner represents, and now we'd have nothing to eat because it's not going to, and we just lose it.
That's right.
And we do that all the time, right? Our dog gets away and we just lose it. And we have to understand how that impacts us every single time we lose control.
That's right. We have the choice to respond to stress either in a productive or an unproductive way. You know, I always use the example of athletes. You know, professional athletes and Olympic athletes are some of the best examples of people that deal with stress effectively. They're able to perform with precision and accuracy every single time, and often under tremendous pressure. And if what I got to do when working on the 15-minute heart cure is I got to work with some of the world's best sports psychologists, and I learned that what these athletes are learning is a form of what's called cognitive behavioral therapy. They're learning how to deal with stress effectively. And they learn, the most important thing is what do you feel when you get stressed? You know, stress is subjective, so what's stressful for me might not be stressful to you, Brad, but when we get stressed, whatever that trigger is, our body responds in the same way. We either feel a knot in our stomach, or we feel dry mouth, or we feel a rapid pulse or sweaty palms, but that's the sign, that's the bodily cue for you to pay attention to this conversation and to stop stress in its tracks. And that's what athletes learn, is they learn to focus on their bodily cues and to stop stress in its tracks so that they can really, you know, execute with precision. We all have that ability. We all have that
now,
ability.
Now, this is, Dr. Kennedy, this is cumulative type of damage, right? It's not like you just, you know, have a bad day and you create a very powerful stress response and all of a sudden you harm the heart. I mean, we're very resilient, obviously.
Well,
so this,
you know,
go ahead.
It's interesting you say that. There, you know, stress comes in two varieties. It's either acute in onset, meaning it's very sudden and unexpected, like the stress you might experience with a natural disaster, an earthquake. That's actually been looked at. And that causes a sudden surge in these stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. And that's been directly linked to triggering cardiovascular events, heart attacks in particular, or sudden cardiac death in particular. But clearly there's that type of stress, which is sudden in onset, or being held at gunpoint is another example. Getting into car accidents is another example. So those are sudden, unexpected surges in stress hormones that can cause a cardiovascular event. And then there's what you're alluding to, which is sort of the chronic day-in, day-out, indolent stress that we might experience in a difficult relationship or, a hostile workplace or a very uncomfortable workplace. That both types of
stress, or children being bullied.
Right, or children being bullied, exactly.
Right.
So both types of stress, whether acute or chronic, whether sudden in onset or day in, day out, cause this fight or flight response to be triggered, and that releases these stress hormones, and that causes this whole cascade of events to follow. So both types of stress have been studied. Both types of stress cause this internal physiology, which is, very dangerous and can harm our cardiovascular health.
I don't think people really understand how powerful our hormones can really be and what they can really do to our physiology and our biochemistry. And as you were talking about the chronic unrelenting stress, I remember doing some research on a condition that's very rare, and you've probably come across this when you were in medical school, and it's called stress dwarfism. And that is when children are under, unbelievable stress, when obviously they're still young and they're producing a lot of human growth hormone and they're in their great growth phase, and all of a sudden these children will stop. Their production from the pituitary gland of growth hormone would literally cease, and the children will stop growing because of the excess cortisol and all of the stress response on their body. And then when these children are brought back into a very loving environment and they're given a lot of attention again, their growth hormones increases. And obviously, if they get to these children at the right time, then they can show normal growth curves. But if they don't, these children will be a lot shorter than they normally should be.
That's absolutely right. It's another, trigger. Another example of how stress, triggers, impaired health.
Absolutely.
Just one example. One thing I'll mention that seems to be a common link, whether stress causes heart disease or it increases the risk of cancer or it increases our risk of the common cold, which all have been studied. One of the common links, I think, is that stress, regardless of the trigger or regardless of how we get stressed, causes an impairment in our immune system. It definitely affects our immune system. That can actually be measured directly and really readily. And our immune system seems to be, the link to all of these disease processes, and it's what stress really has a very powerful effect on.
Okay. When we come back on Transforming Health with Dr. John Kennedy, we're talking about his 15-minute heart cure. We're talking about stress and heart disease. Get your pens out. Get your piece of paper out. Get a little booklet out. You're going to want to take a lot of notes. We're going to talk about techniques in which you can apply to your life immediately that will drastically reduce your risk of cardiovascular complications and also allow you to live a much healthier life in general. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King, and we will be right back with more of the show after these messages.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Hi, this is Dr. Vijaya Nair. together with my dear friend Dr. Howard Piper, we are hosting our own show called Kiss Your Life Hello. We are two internationally recognized experts, researchers, authors, and health advocates in holistic medicine and counseling. We promise you a fantastic show with interesting guest experts to educate and entertain you with the latest information on mind, body, and spirit wellness. Join us on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. See you there.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Transforming Health. When we constantly stress over things, we end up elevating our stress hormones, especially cortisol. See, perception equals reality in the face of stress, and during stress, cortisol can easily become more important to your body than other hormones. And since it's produced along the same biochemical pathway as your sex hormones, for instance, it usually ends up robbing the body of the very substances needed to keep these hormones in abundance. Let me give you an example. Cortisol can actually compete with testosterone. This is one of the reasons your libido is almost non-existent during times of stress. And by the way, that's both for men and women because we have receptors for testosterone in our brain. And yes, sex, or at least the sexual feeling, starts in the head. See, testosterone is needed for the repair and replacement of things like muscle tissue as well. And in case you're wondering why this is so important, your muscle tissue controls to a large extent the rate of your overall metabolism. And that's one of the reasons your metabolism declines through age is because you're losing a lot of body mass. What ends up happening is obviously you're exacerbating that response when you're under stress. Cortisol also competes with something called DHEA. That's your anti-aging hormone, which is why people seem to magically age before your eyes when they're under stress, especially for long periods. DHEA is also needed to maintain a healthy metabolism and to help prevent heart disease. Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison has actually shown that derivatives of DHEA help induce a process that allows the body to burn more body fat, and thereby may be able to decrease the incidence of obesity. Since one of the most important roles of DHEA holds in the body is in actually balancing the effects of cortisol, this is really one of the keys to its metabolism and heart-enhancing effects. The good news is that hormones like DHEA can be naturally elevated by literally altering our moods. There was actually a paper that appeared in the Journal of Psychoneuroendocrinology that showed that total mood disturbance and perceived stress over time negatively affected the cortisol levels in the body to DHEA. In other words, cortisol went up and DHEA went down. But in the study, when the test subjects lowered their stress levels, they were actually able to raise the DHEA, the good hormone, and lower the bad cortisol. Today's guest is an associate clinical professor at Harbor UCLA and is a life changer expert on NBC's Extra Television and has been featured on numerous national television and radio broadcasts. He works as the Director of Preventative Cardiology and Wellness at Marina Del Rey Hospital in Marina Del Rey, California. Once again, please welcome the co-author of the 15-Minute Heart Cure, The Natural Way to Release Stress and Heal Your Heart in Just Minutes a Day, Dr. John Kennedy. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we were talking in the beginning about the stress response and partly how it impacts the health of our heart. And, you know, I wanted to talk about, is there a difference? Because you hear about these people that have so-called good stresses in their life. For instance, somebody wins the lottery. I would say that's a pretty good stress. And then all of a sudden they have a heart attack, so they don't even get to enjoy, obviously, the winnings of the lottery. I mean, they're dead, basically. So is there, in your opinion, is there a difference between the so-called good stress, something like winning the lottery, and bad stress that would be, you know, our perception of our reality if we're stuck in a traffic jam?
Yeah, I would say no.
I think that when you read about the history of stress, you learn that, you know, there's distress, which is the bad stress, and there's eustress, which is, the idea that there's some good stress. And they often use the example of, you know, riding on a roller coaster and the kind of exhilaration you might feel when you go down really quickly and then go up on these twists and turns. But the reality is, when you're stressed, when you trigger the fight or flight response, whether it's from winning the lottery or it's from getting stuck in traffic or giving a public presentation in front of 1,000 people, you're triggering the same response, and this release of hormones can potentially be harmful to your heart. And, you know, what's different and what I spend a lot of my time talking about is that it's not that stress is good and bad, because it's I think uniformly bad. It's how we deal with stress. It's when you get stressed, when this response is triggered, can you cope with it effectively and in a healthy way, or are you dealing with it in a bad way that can potentially damage your heart?
Right. Well, let's talk about this. So what would you say are some of the most common triggers that, you know, the listener should be looking out for, you know, and how does stress actually affect the heart, but what do we do? Like, what can we notice about everything we do in life that will actually, you know, work as a trigger and make us realize that maybe there's something we can actually do to avert the problem?
That's a great question. I will say common triggers are anything that causes anxiety, anything that causes worry. Right now, we're living in a time where there's lots of stressful triggers. We have the economic crisis. We have the healthcare crisis. We have, you know, the unemployment level here in America is hovering, you know, double figures. And we're living in the midst of two wars. And so there's a lot to be stressed about. People are very, you know, understandably overwhelmed with what's going on. And all of those things create fear. Some of the more common day-in, day-out pressures that trigger the stress response are getting stuck in traffic, having to give a public presentation, having our six-month review at work when we're scrutinized for our work. And I'll tell you, the data suggest that the numbers of stressful triggers that are linked to cardiovascular disease are ever growing. And I'll just go through a few that have been recently studied. One is, we mentioned earlier, earthquakes and natural disasters, clearly a link. Panic attacks, particularly in women, increase our risk for cardiovascular disease. Marital arguing patterns, in particular women that repress their feelings, are at increased cardiovascular risk. Stuck in traffic, like we mentioned, and even big sporting events. There's a lot of data now looking at World Cup soccer fans. In particular, there's a study looking at German soccer fans who, every time their team plays, whether they win or lose, they increase their cardiovascular mortality. There's also the trigger of holiday stress. We know that the peak numbers of cardiovascular mortality tend to peak on two days of the year. One is January 1st, the New Year, and also on Christmas Day. And so these are just a number of stressful triggers that clearly, cause this fight or flight response to be triggered and the release of stress hormones that can, you know, cause and trigger cardiovascular
events. So are we supposed to stay away from our in-laws then? Is that what you're saying?
That's a good question. That's been some of the theories, is that, you know, we're forced to be around our dysfunctional families during the holidays, and that may be one of the links to, you know, why we get emotionally stressed.
So when we talk about emotion, let's talk about an area of research that is well known, but it's not as accepted by, let's say, the majority of physicians out there. They might not really be aware of the research. I'm talking about depression. Mm-hmm. And according to the research, depression aggravates the course of, you know, multiple cardiovascular conditions. Mm-hmm. For instance, medically healthy individuals who have suffered from depression have been shown to be significantly at a higher risk of developing heart attacks and stroke. Mm-hmm. So do you look at depression when it comes to heart disease in your practice? And really, what have you found, with this correlation?
Well, I'm particularly interested in this field. There's clearly a link between depression and cardiovascular disease, both in men and women, although there may be a more profound effect in women. And the way, you know, emotional stress and heart disease are connected, at least in terms of gender, it's interesting. Women are more prone to depression and anxiety. And this, again, both men and women are affected, but more women than men. When we get emotionally stressed, women are more at risk for depression and anxiety, which both have been linked to cardiovascular disease. And men, when we get emotionally stressed, we're more at risk for hostility and anger, which have clearly been demonstrated to be related to cardiovascular disease. So,
right, and I just want to interject there, and I want you to keep on that path as soon as I finish here, but I just wanted to say, when you're talking about men increasing their hostility, their anger, mm-hmm. You know, over the last 10 years or so, we've blamed that on testosterone. You know, men that are angry mm-hmm. have very high levels of testosterone, but the research actually shows the complete opposite. They have mm-hmm. very low levels of testosterone, and also men that have lower levels of testosterone are known to have higher risk of cardiovascular complications.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to mention that because some of the men that are listening might be thinking, wow, I guess my testosterone is off the map, but really it's a complete opposite.
That's exactly right. It's fascinating research. I just thought, you know, emotional stress in general, regardless of our you know, response, whether it's depression and anxiety or hostility and anger, they both have been linked in men and women. And again, what's in common is we have high levels of adrenaline, high levels of cortisol, which are all related to this fight or flight response.
Right. Now, you know, my father-in-law actually just had a quadruple bypass himself. And, you know, one of the things that we notice, and I mean, obviously, this is your area of expertise, so you mm-hmm. must see this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, they undergo the operation, and mm-hmm. then I wouldn't know what would the percentage be of people that have undergone a bypass mm-hmm. Or triple, quadruple, double, whatever, that suffer from depression after the operation?
Yeah. The data suggests that 25 to 30% of people post-bypass are at risk for depression.
That's huge.
It's huge. It's a huge number.
And yet, major depression severely impairs heart rate recovery
right.
following a major coronary event. So
right.
These people are obviously at a disadvantage for getting better.
That's right. And, you know, what's been difficult to show, and this is why, you know, you alluded to it earlier on, is that, you know, what's cause and effect? Is it that, you know, the bypass surgery causes depression, and depression is linked to, you know, higher cardiovascular mortality? Or is it that when we get depressed, we're less likely to take our medications, we're less likely to exercise, we're more likely to eat poorly? So it's hard
right.
to draw this real true cause and effect, but clearly depression and cardiovascular mortality have been linked in both men and women, more again for women than men.
You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today is the incredible cardiologist, Dr. John Kennedy. We're talking about stress and heart disease. When we come back from the halfway break, we're going to continue on this topic of depression and heart disease just for a little longer, because I think it's such an important area of research, and I think we really want to get this message across to the majority of you. And then we're going to talk about a technique that Dr. Kennedy has developed that can drastically reduce your risk of heart disease and other cardiovascular complications. Once again, you're listening to Transforming Health, and we will be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio, Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Fried, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the show. These days we face very different threats than the threats we faced thousands of years ago. The only problem is we're living in the same body our prehistoric forefathers lived in. However, we're obviously living in a very different world. So I want you to imagine this scenario for a second. You just happen to be stuck in one of the worst traffic jams ever. It's the hottest day of the year and you don't have air conditioning. The driver next to you is in a convertible with the loudest stereo you've ever heard, and it's playing the kind of music you really don't like very much. Needless to say, you're getting upset. See, we can all relate to a scenario like this, whether you're in prehistoric times running from a predator or in the here and now stuck in a traffic jam, your body reacts physiologically to the situation in the same way. Stress causes a massive release of stress hormones, which can cause immediate drainage of your energy reserves. The stress response was never meant to do anything more than help us survive life or death situations. But this built-in survival mechanism is also responsible for a great deal of the diseases many of us currently suffer from, especially heart disease. Whether the stressor is physiological, physical, psychological, the outcome will invariably be the same. Degradation to our body systems. And to further understand the problems we face when we are under chronic stress and how the stress relates to the health of the heart, I have invited a world-renowned cardiologist that just happens to specialize in stress management to the show. Today's guest is on the board of directors for the American Heart Association. He speaks regularly on their behalf. He's a board-certified cardiologist. He's published letters in peer-reviewed journals such as the American Heart Journal, the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, and he's also the co-author of the 15-Minute Heart Cure, The Natural Way to Release Stress and Heal Your Heart in Just Minutes a Day. So, Dr. John Kennedy, before we went out for the break, we were talking about depression and, you know, the link between our moods and especially depression and our body's ability to really, you know, remain healthy, especially when it comes to our heart health. And we were talking about how when people, you know, have heart disease or heart attacks and they undergo an operation such as a bypass surgery, when they're depressed, and you were mentioning people who have these types of surgeries, 25 to 30% of them actually suffer from clinical depression afterwards, which really impairs their recovery. So I just want to talk a little more about the depression and how that really impacts heart health. And one of the things I wanted to mention, because it really brought this up when we were talking about it, depression also happens to be associated with, you know, these biological changes that involve increased heart rate, but also inflammation. And you touched on inflammation a little earlier in the show. So, you know, when it comes to depression and inflammation, you know, what do you think can be done to really bring the patient right back into a more normal mode?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And now we're sort of talking about, you know, the physiology. We know for sure that stress and heart disease, and in particular depression and heart disease, are linked. The question is, what is the mechanism, and what is the physiology that's in common? You know, why do depressed people, why are they more likely to develop, you know, cardiovascular disease? And one thing that we found is that people that are depressed have a what's called lower heart rate variability. Their heart rate varies less. And when your heart rate varies less, for example, if you run around all day and your heart rate ranges between 90 and 100 all day, that we know is linked to higher cardiovascular mortality. And we know that lower heart rate variability, as your heart rate stays the same, is linked to depression. So depression, low heart rate variability, and higher cardiovascular mortality are linked. That is a sign that people that are depressed are constantly triggering their fight or flight response. We know that they're more anxious than others, and that may be the link. There may be some anxiety linked to depression that is the answer, or at least part of the answer for why people with depression have heart disease, or more likely to develop heart disease. And The other interesting physiology is that patients that are depressed have higher inflammatory markers. They're markers like interleukin-1, interleukin-6, C-reactive peptide. All of these markers and tumor necrosis factor are all higher in people that are depressed. And we know that all of those cytokines and inflammatory markers are associated with higher cardiovascular mortality. So the two things are lower heart rate variability, which means that your sympathetic nervous system or your fight or flight response is triggered, maybe due to anxiety in depressed patients, and increased inflammation, both of which have been linked to cardiovascular disease.
Now, one of the easiest ways to measure bodily inflammation is with a marker called CRP, or C-reactive protein.
That's correct.
Is this something you do in your practice? Do you measure this with your patients?
I do. In fact, I have a study ongoing right now for patients not that are depressed but have what's called the metabolic syndrome. And the metabolic syndrome is a cluster of signs and symptoms, a high body mass index, meaning people are overweight, hypertension, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, and a high fasting blood sugar. That's the cluster of symptoms also known as Syndrome X, which increases your risk for cardiovascular disease. And in those patients, I'm teaching them how to use this technique that I describe in the 15-minute heart cure, known as the breathe technique, which is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy or a relaxation technique. And I'm showing that when you learn to relax, when you learn to decrease the stress response and elicit the opposite, which is called the relaxation response, I'm seeing changes in C-reactive protein. I'm seeing lower C-reactive protein. I'm seeing better fasting blood sugars, and I'm seeing improved lipid metabolism, all of the things that are caused to go awry when we get stressed.
So, Dr. Kennedy, I mean, this represents 3/4 of the population right now. I mean, we're over fat. I don't call us overweight because we really do need to differentiate where weight is on the body. So we're carrying a lot of fat. We carry the fat primarily in the abdominal cavity. All the studies show that the more fat we carry in that cavity, the higher our rate of all forms of heart disease, the higher our rate of cancers, the higher our rate of diabetes. Isn't there a direct correlation between diabetes, especially type 2 diabetes, and heart disease?
Yeah, both type 1 and type 2 actually are linked to cardiovascular disease. It's one of the major standard risk factors for heart disease.
Right. And then we've got the belly fat that's directly linked to depression. I mean, you know, I wrote a book called Beer Belly Blues, which is really about male menopause. And in my research, I mean, men that have low testosterone levels and a big belly have a 271% greater risk of suffering from clinical depression, but they're also the ones at greater risk for all forms of cardiovascular disease.
That's right.
So wouldn't it make a lot of sense if people were really to concentrate on trying to get rid of the belly fat first?
Yeah, and I think what brings everything you're talking about together, and this is really what I think, is that, you know, when we talk about prevention, we're talking about how do you prevent heart disease from occurring. I think, you know, if we polled all of your listeners, that most of them would say, oh, well, it has to do with diet and exercise. Well, I think the elephant in the room, and the most important part of prevention, is actually stress reduction. Because when we learn to effectively cope with stress, We're much more likely to exercise regularly. We're also much more likely to eat a balanced diet, and we're less likely to eat poorly and to drink and smoke, which all increase our risk for cardiovascular disease. So when we learn to manage stress, we really that's the pivotal point and the most important part of prevention. And if we do that, we're much less likely to develop, like you said, the beer belly blues, because we're going to be out exercising and eating correctly, because we know how to deal with stress. When we get stressed, that's the trigger. That's what I think causes the whole sort of, domino effect is when we manage stress poorly.
Right, and it's not as simple as actually writing a prescription for an anti-anxiety medication or an antidepressant medication. I mean, you've got to teach people new lifestyle skills, do you not?
That's exactly right. The first thing is, what are your triggers? That's what I tell my patients. What triggers you? Is it paying your bills, at the end of the month, or is it getting stuck in traffic in a difficult commute to work, or is it dealing with an angry, work partner? What are the triggers? And then how does your body respond to stress? You have to get in touch with what you feel when you get stressed. Do you get a knot in your stomach? Do you feel a dry mouth? Do you feel your heart pounding out of your chest? What do you feel when you feel stressed? And then you need to employ these effective stress-reducing tools so that you can stop stress in its tracks.
Okay, now you keep talking about workplace stress, and I know that is obviously a very, it's a very real, it's a reality. I mean, the majority, we mentioned it at the very beginning, how it impacts the majority of workers, and how it really, stress as a trigger for cardiovascular events. So my question to you, is this a physiological reaction? We know it is a physiological reaction, or is there a psychological mechanism, what's really happening in the body when we're experiencing these cardiovascular events at work? What are the triggers, and where are they really coming from?
That's a great question. And there, workplace stress has been studied very extensively. There's a lot of data out of Europe and a lot of data out of the United States now, showing that workplace stress is a direct trigger and a direct cause of cardiovascular disease. And the two specific types of workplace stress that have been looked at is, one, there's the increased physical strain stress, where we have to do more with less time. And it's especially important today when big companies are leaning down and this sort of skinny or small workforce has to bear the brunt of more work. So you have to do more with less time, and that clearly triggers the stress response. When we have to do, 500 emails and do more work because we have less coworkers to help us do it, we get triggered. We get stressed. And at the same time, when we're asked to do more, we're scrutinized for our performance. And so that type of stress clearly has been associated with cardiovascular risk.
Yeah, and aren't we even carrying that stress over on our holidays because people are so stressed out about what they need to do at work that they actually get stressed out going on holidays?
Yeah, they go on holiday and they worry about losing their job. They worry about, whoa, I'm not at work, I can't finish, and they have their emails, their text messages, and their phone mails that they never really let go of work. And so that's another stressor that people, that are creating increasing cardiovascular mortality. And the second type of workplace stress is interesting. It's a social isolation type stress where we feel like we're doing all this extra work, all this extra stuff with no acknowledgement. Nobody's acknowledging or recognizing our extra work, and so we tend to feel isolated, and we actually develop depression. We're at higher risk of feeling lonely and developing depression, and we feel like there's no room for improvement. We feel like there's no one ever going to promote us to a higher level. And so those two types of stress have been specifically measured in the workplace and are clearly associated with increased cardiovascular mortality.
Unbelievable. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today is cardiologist Dr. John Kennedy. We're talking about the relationship between stress, your perception of your reality, that becomes your reality, and how that impacts your heart and really everything else within your life. When we come back on the final segment of Transforming Health, we're going to be talking about a brand new technique, or perhaps it's not so brand new, but it is a technique that works. It's called the breathe technique, and I'm going to be asking Dr. Kennedy about this. Get your pens out, get your piece of paper out, write this information down, because trust me, this is going to be life-saving and possibly life-altering information. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Our hectic lifestyles and our constant worrying are far from the only culprits when it comes to stress. The majority of people today unwittingly exacerbate their stress response by consuming too many caffeinated beverages, especially coffee. Kids do this all the time with all of those high-energy drinks that are available. Here's the problem. Caffeine in coffee and all of these, you know, super drinks that are being available to everyone these days has been shown to elevate stress hormones over and above the body's natural response. And this is for many hours after consumption. Researchers from Duke University published a study in 2002 showing that the stress hormones elevated by daily, this is moderate, caffeine consumption cause blood pressure elevations and increases in stress reactivity that could contribute to an increased risk of coronary heart disease in the adult population. Wake up call. Please welcome the co-author of the 15-Minute Heart Cure, the natural way to release stress and heal your heart in just minutes a day. We've got Dr. John Kennedy for the final minutes of Transforming Health. Dr. Kennedy, you created this really unique technique that's called Breathe. I was hoping you could tell us about this and really what led you to create it in the first place.
Yeah, sure. The reality is that, you know, we all experience rising pressures to perform under increasingly more demanding schedules. You know, we're all under tremendous stress. And so I know, as a cardiologist, that stress and heart disease are linked. And so I thought, wow, if stress is bad, it stands to reason that relaxation must be good. But I also learned that simple self-directed tools were few and far between. And so I set out to find a solution and developed the Breathe technique, which is a simple 7-step exercise that helps reduce stress and heal your heart. And Breathe, which is an acronym, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, combines two proven forms of relaxation, guided imagery and breath work. And both of these techniques elicit the relaxation response, which is opposite of the stress response. And when you practice this, it's like toning your muscles in the gym. You'll develop this special neural network between your heart and your brain, and it'll help you focus and find a sense of calm when faced with one of life's unexpected challenges. And just to quickly go through it, B is for begin, and any good exercise has a good beginning and ending. And develop a rhythm and routine. You want to start at the same time every day in the same comfortable place where you're not going to be interrupted for about 10 to 15 minutes. R is for relax. You want to take 7 deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth, and extend your exhalation because that's what elicits the opposite of the stress response, the relaxation response. E is for envision. You want to imagine something, imagine a goal or something that you're trying to accomplish at work, for example, or even a calm ride to work. And You want to use something that's pleasurable to you. And as you do this, you'll notice a lower heart rate and a lower blood pressure. And in fact, studies show that when you use guided imagery like this, you actually bolster and strengthen your immune system. A is for apply. Remember at work, when you get triggered, you want to remember and imagine this imagery that you went through early in the morning to call on this skill. And you can actually, like you said earlier, Brad, you know, we are what we think. And when we imagine those things that relax us, we can quickly turn stress around. T is for treat. The breathe technique it's a pleasurable and therapeutic exercise. You want to look forward to this, just like people that get runner's high at the gym. It's like practicing, feelings of enkephalins and endorphins that you get when you work out. H is for healing. We can measure your heart rate and blood pressure when you start the exercise, and they're going to be much, much lower when you end your exercise. This is a healing exercise. It lowers your heart rate, lowers your blood pressure, bolsters your immune system, and decreases inflammation. And E is for end. As you end your exercise and you're finishing up your meditation or your focused relaxation skill, you want to open your eyes, get ready to execute, and start your day.
So how long should this breathe technique last, roughly?
Yeah, you know, you want to start by doing it for a couple minutes a day, build up 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's hard to do for 15 minutes, but if you can do it for 15 minutes, this is when I've seen the best results. And you can clearly, for example, take your blood pressure and heart rate at the beginning and the blood pressure and heart rate at the end and show lower. I've seen drops in 10 millimeters of mercury in blood pressure and 10 beats per minute in heart rate.
Wow, wow. And you know, you were mentioning at the very beginning, to begin, find the right time of day. I mean, you know, obviously there would be an opportune time if we could all find that. What would that opportune time be?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. For someone that works on a loading dock, you want to do it before you start your day, perhaps when you're getting in your car, just going to walk into work. I do it in the scrub sink. I mean, I'm a surgeon. I do surgery every day. And at the scrub sink, I have time to do it before every single surgery. I don't do it for 15 minutes, but I do it for a good 3 to 5 minutes. And I start my surgery in a focused, calm, and very, relaxed manner.
So is this, is this not just meditation, really, yoga, that type of thing, or is this something really different?
Yeah, it's basically focused relaxation. It's exactly what athletes use when they're asked to perform under tremendous pressure, and it is a form of meditation. It's whatever, you know, you want to call it, but it clearly gets you to be in the present, teaches you to be in the present. It teaches you to elicit the opposite of the stress response, and it's a simple, self-directed tool that will help you focus, relax, and protect your heart all at the same time.
Dr. Kennedy, I want to really thank you for being my guest today. As I mentioned to you off the air, I'm going to listen to this show again, just as a listener, not as a host, because the information I really think is life-altering, and I think you're a fantastic guest. You talk from the heart. You're obviously very passionate about what you do. How can people get more information on you and the 15-minute heart cure?
There's two websites, www.the15minuteheartcure.com and also johnmkennedymd.com.
Okay. Listen, I'd love to have you back in the future, and we could talk about, another correlation between heart disease and something else. So please come back in the future and be my guest again.
Thanks, Brad. It was a pleasure.
Take care of yourself. You were listening to Transforming Health with Brad King, and we will be back next Wednesday with more life-altering information. Have yourself a fantastic week.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.